How long do you think you'll live? Globally, average life expectancy is around 73 years, and in America, it's close to 77. Lifespan has generally been increasing over recent centuries, but the dream of radically increasing our longevity is a powerful one. And it's a dream many plant and animal species have already achieved, given that we have trees thought to be older than the pyramids and sharks older than the United States. Nicholas Brenborg looks at these remarkable non-human Methuselahs in his book, Jellyfish Age Backwards, Nature's Secrets to Longevity. Nicholas is pursuing a PhD in molecular biology at the University of Copenhagen and brings his fascinating research to the general public with these five big ideas.
The first insight is that aging is the root cause of all our worst diseases. Today, the top causes of death are cancers, cardiovascular diseases, and dementias. And of course, if you dive into the molecular details of these diseases, there's unique mechanisms involved in each one. For instance, the reason we get Alzheimer's disease is different from, say, why we get colon cancer or why we get heart attacks. But if we take a step back, the root cause of all these diseases is actually the same, because the root cause is aging. So someone like me, who's 27, I won't get dementia, I have a very low risk of getting cardiovascular diseases, and I'm also protected against most types of cancers. But the older you get, the higher your disease risk. That means that even the most sloppy 27-year-old who's overweight, smoking, never exercising, and someone who has a terrible diet will still have a lower risk of cancer than an 80-year-old who does everything right. And that is because the physical decline happening in aging is what actually opens the door for these diseases in the first place. So it follows that we could kill many birds with one stone if we could just target the decline of aging directly. If we could age more slowly, we would not just live longer, we would also have a lower risk of disease. And that's a very important point, because the fight against aging is not necessarily about living as long as possible. It's about having more good years than we currently have. Aging scientists usually say that the ultimate goal is to die young as late as possible. To find inspiration as to how to achieve this, we go to insight number two. And this insight is, aging is surprisingly variable. You might think aging is some kind of physical law that all organisms just have to abide by. And indeed, we do see many of the same forms of decline happening in different species. But the point just is, this decline happens at wildly different speeds. For instance, a laboratory mouse will age and die in 2-3 years, while the longest-lived humans have made it past 120. But even this actually pales in comparison to other biological organisms. For instance, the longest-lived mammal is a whale called the bowhead whale, and it can live more than 210 years. So being a mammal, it's one of our close relatives, yet it outlives even the best of us with more than a century. In the grand scheme of things, though, the bowhead whale is actually also somewhat of a mayfly, because there are other biological organisms that can just live way, way longer than even the bowhead whale. For instance, the Greenland shark, which can live more than 400 years, certain kinds of mussels, which can live more than 500 years, and actually, there are trees alive today which first sprouted before the pyramids were built, making them more than 5,000 years old. So even if nature has some kind of limit to how long a biological organism can live, we humans are just far, far away from it. And that's positive news, because that means we could learn something from these organisms if we want to learn how to age more slowly. Aging gets even weirder in nature, though. So insight number three is that there are also widely different patterns of aging in nature. It's not just this gradual process like it is for us, for all species. For instance, some types of salmon and some types of octopus will basically not age through their entire life and then take the entire aging process at once at the very end. So that would be like you and I staying in the physical shape of a 25-year-old until, say, turning 90, and then going from that peak physical condition to the physical condition of a 90-year-old in something like 2 months and then dying from old age after that. There are actually also species like lobster which just don't age at all. So with time, lobsters just get larger, they get more fertile, they get less likely to die, meaning that the strongest and most fertile lobsters are the oldest ones, not the young ones like among humans. And finally, some animals can even age backwards. This is where my book title comes back into the picture, because the jellyfish in my book title is a species called Turritopsis. This is a tiny jellyfish around the size of a fingernail, which basically just swims around eating plankton. So with the naked eye, it's not incredibly exciting. But If you stress it just the right way, for instance by changing the temperature of the water or by starving the jellyfish, it can go from its adult stage back to something called the polyp stage. So that would be akin to a butterfly turning into a caterpillar again, or to you and I turning back into a kindergartner again. From there, the jellyfish can grow up anew, then you can stress it again and it will rejuvenate itself, then it will grow up once more, you can stress it again, and so on and so on. So until now, no one has actually found a limit to this trick, so it's quite possible that this jellyfish is actually an example of the holy grail of aging research, and that is an animal which is biologically immortal. Okay, so that was something about aging as a broad theme. In my book, I also dive into what you can do in practice right now to slow down aging. Perhaps while you wait for scientists to transfer the ability of the immortal jellyfish to humans. The first of these insights, and number four overall, is that stress is not always bad. You might think you need to treat your body very gently if you want to live for a long time, but actually biological organisms are much more complicated than that. That's because we experience something called hormesis, that is gaining strength through adversity. I'll give you an example. So most people know exercise is healthy, but a lot of people think that this is due to something happening while you're at it, so while you're out for a run, for instance. But let's think through what actually happens while you're running. So your heart rate is elevated, your blood pressure is high, your muscles and bones are actually getting damaged, and your lungs are also stressed from drawing in lots of air. So actually, the reason your mind is telling you to stop when you're out for a run is that you're hurting yourself. But then the magic happens when you're done with the run, because the body sees all the damage you have inflicted as a sort of signal saying you need to get stronger. So it starts processes involved with repair and processes involved in strengthening itself. That means next time you'll be more resilient when you go for a run, or just more resilient in general. So this phenomenon isn't just isolated to exercise, you can find it in connection with all sorts of different stressors. For instance, laboratory worms will actually live longer if they're exposed to a little bit of a weed killer or a little bit of heavy metals than if they're left without. The same is true if you expose mice to low levels of radiation, that will actually make them live longer. Now, just to be perfectly clear, I'm not recommending you to go experiment with weed killer or radiation or anything like that. But I do have a bunch of different ways to use beneficial stressors in my book. So I talk about sauna use, I talk about winter swimming, I talk about fasting, I talk about blood donations, and I talk about many other ways to use hormesis, that is gaining strength through adversity. Finally, in insight number five, I want to talk about something completely different. Because in jellyfish age backwards, there's a lot of advice on the classics like exercise, diet, but I also have a lot of weird advice. And one piece of advice that readers around the world have been especially interested in is why I recommend flossing for a long life. You see, it turns out there's this weird connection between mouth bacteria and then many age-related diseases. For instance, there's a certain mouth bacterium that keeps getting found inside the brains of people who died from Alzheimer's disease, but not in the brains of people who died from other causes. This bacterium has also been found inside the clot formed in heart attacks, and other mouth bacteria pops up in diseases like colon cancer and pancreas cancer. We also know there's this condition called periodontitis, where mouth bacteria starts growing out of control, and this condition is actually associated with an increased risk of all these diseases. So now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying mouth bacteria are the root cause of all these diseases. But it is very possible, though, that they at least contribute. Luckily, there is an easy way to avoid this though, and that is simply to keep mouth bacteria in check, and you do that by removing their food source, that is, food left in your mouth after you eat. So in that way, flossing might actually decrease your risk of a lot of these nasty diseases. Okay, that was it for me for this time. If you enjoyed these insights, I hope you will give the book a chance. Thank you for listening, and have a good day.
Thank you, Nicholas. That was Nicholas Brenborg with five big ideas from Jellyfish Age Backwards, Nature's Secrets to Longevity. You can find more ideas like this in Methuselah's Zoo, What Nature Can Teach Us About Living Longer, Healthier Lives by Stephen Austin. I'm Michael Kovnet. Thanks for listening.